CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Sex Talk. It is unscripted. It is unradio. And it is uncensored. So, beautiful people in the studio this morning. Good morning. You look really gorgeous this morning.
Thank you, Jonty. You look wonderful as well.
Thank you so much. And my good friend, Christos Daskalakos. We have known each other a long time. I was thinking about that this morning.
True.
So you've got to talk really close to the mic.
Okay.
Like you're going to give it a big smoocheroo. Because I was thinking a long time ago, somebody said to me, we're going to dance. And I said, what is this? Because I don't have rhythm. And they said, no, you don't need any of that. It's not like dance steps. And off we go to this thing called Bayadanza. And that's where we met, which was like about 12 years ago.
Yeah, no.
Something like that.
People that don't know think that it might be a Star Wars thing, Bayadanza.
Yeah, so we're going to explain all about that. So you can WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090.
And remember, everybody can see your WhatsApps.
Yes, so it's not just Sex Talk WhatsApps.
And even if it
which
was.
It's absolutely fine. Absolutely fine. So, timed for, let's Dirty Dictionary first. Why is it not on?
Office. Twitter bag. Calipagian.
Today's Dirty Dictionary word is
Dracophilia.
Dirty Dictionary word.
Dracophilia. Any clue?
Vampire play.
Vampire play.
People that get turned on
by vampires.
Dracula. Dracophilia.
Okay, I understand how you get there, but you're nowhere near ballpark.
Isn't it something fantasy at least?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
It is. All right. So you're in the realm. All right. In the realm.
In the world of fantasy.
That's it. Any clues? Dracophilia?
Something to do with monsters?
Well, again, in the realm.
Yeah.
But not quite. So WhatsApp us what you think Dracophilia is. 079-748-2090.
And you can vote that I'm right just because you want to.
What are you offering to people who
right? If somebody has Dracophilia, I'm willing to be the maid in distress and they can just put the vampire teeth and we'll do a whole play. You know, my partner will decide where it ends.
Absolutely.
But I'm so game. So
like. Okay. So you move away from vampires.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Vampires, we are nowhere near. Okay. Monsters, maybe, but not quite.
All right.
It's very specific, this one.
Okay.
Very specific. Okay. What's Bayadanza? Tell us.
Oh, the $1 million question.
Yeah. Because I was thinking it's like such a hard thing to explain.
Yeah, no, it's hard to explain because it's experiential. Mm. And, you know, the minute you start using words, people latch onto the word and the semantics, and then they come back and say, oh, no, it's not that, or I don't like that. Or,
yeah.
I mean, the other day I was saying to somebody, you know, about the dances that we do in Bayadanza come from inside. You know, you look inside and, oh, no, I don't look inside. I don't look inside. I want it from outside, you know. So I thought, but he doesn't know what I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So it's an experience, and it's an experience in movement, using music, and getting in touch with your whole body, mind, body, soul, your emotions. And being totally in the present moment. Through movement and dance, yeah. Obviously, yeah.
If I'll take off the first sentence and the last sentence, yeah. It will be like conscious sexuality.
Yeah, but that's the thing, that when you start exploring this world of movement and of touch, yeah. Like the one thing I just want to say, often for so much of what we do, something falls into that same category because the word massage, for example, is such a limiting word.
Yes.
So like we talk about water flow massage, for example, and it's such a limiting word because as soon as you hear the word dance or you hear the word massage, you immediately create this whole image, which becomes such a limitation in terms of what the experience really is. And the second thing is what you say is absolutely right, Tamar, is that the principles of conscious sexuality are exactly the same. And that's where it becomes so beautiful that they're just different expressions of our sensuality and our sensual being.
Well, it's all of it is just expressions of our humanity, of how we are in the world, whether it's through movement, connection, touch, sexuality, sensuality. It's just our expression of our basic human condition and being.
Yeah.
And that's, it's when we start dividing them up into, well, this is the sexuality, this is the massage, this is the dance, this is that.
Oh, this is allowed, this is not cool.
Exactly.
And they're all the same thing.
It's all one flow.
Yeah. Mm.
It's all one flow of energy.
Yeah.
Bio danza, what does that mean?
Bio danza is made up of two words. The first one is Greek, meaning vios, life. And danza is the Spanish for dance.
For dance, so the dance of life.
So it's the dance of our dance of life. Mm. Yeah.
And it's beautiful, because it's the dance of sensuality, the dance of eros, the dance of the heart, of the body, of authenticity, of connection, of communication.
Mm. You've said something very interesting and important, that sensuality. When people ask many times, "Oh, so sensuality is sexuality." And then you have to point them out and say, no, actually, you can be sensual and you can dance and there's nothing to do with actually with the sexuality, coming at that moment. It's a performance. It's a expression of yourself at the time. Mm. And it has something very deep and intimate with yourself.
Mm. And with the cosmos. I find, this is where you said conscious sensuality and stuff. I mean, we experience the world through our bodies. I mean, it's not a mind thing, it's a body thing, and it's through the senses. And when we shut down the senses because we're not allowed to touch, or we're not allowed to connect, or we're not allowed to feel, we're actually shutting ourselves off from the experience of the world, the cosmos itself.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking about that because a couple of weeks ago, I came to a water session that you did, which is very different to what we do. So firstly, talk a little bit about that.
Okay, so Jonte and I have these sessions in a heated indoor pool, which is at body temperature, and in a very beautiful atmosphere of soft lighting, soft music. And the way the whole concept from my perspective, and obviously yours is a little bit different, is that we are recreating that womb, that moment of being absolutely held, nurtured, connected, and at one. To take people into an experience of deep, deep relaxation and letting go, so that they feel at oneness and feel that moment. I think Jung calls it the oceanic experience, which is apt for the water.
Yeah.
But it's that moment where you are connected with everything. It's almost like your body dissolves, you dissolve, you become more and bigger.
And water becomes such a powerful space for that because we are made mostly of water.
Exactly,
so it connects us with that whole liquid life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally, yeah.
And you said that exact sentence, we experience the world through our bodies.
Yeah.
And I realized in our world how many aspects of our world try and keep us away from that.
True.
How they try and shut that down through putting touch in very specific, very limited contexts.
And we die.
Yeah. In the
we
way
just
that,
die.
That we eat, that we drink.
And we communicate, not allowed to touch, not allowed to be in your space too much.
Yeah.
but even in basic healing. I mean, if you look at a Bushman trance dance, for example.
That's interesting. I don't know anything about it.
But a lot of the healing is done through touch. They body to body, or on the head or on the heart. And then you look at our medical profession, psychologists, doctors, where they, you know, do not touch the patients.
Yeah. So and clinical and distant and removed. Just
because of lawsuits.
Exactly. But look at how, as humans, we heal through touch. We connect through touch. And, you know, so we have this all the time. We're living in the head. You know, totally everything has to be kind of mental, cognitive, and intellectual.
Yeah. And we've moved so far away from the pure experiential.
And it's
huge stuff, this. I mean, it really is life changing. You know, we did a beautiful thing on Tuesday night where we did an experimental session of some new ideas for water massage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was so deep in that space. And we've lost that.
You know what was special about that night? It was a bunch of people that know they're safe. They are giving their consent to be in the water, some of them naked. They know nothing's going to happen to them. They know they're fully in their body and centered. And they are accepting love and exploration. There was nothing sexual in the water. There was no interaction. There was no swinging. But yet again, you speak about body immediately.
Exactly.
So
that's where the perception of people goes. Yeah.
And that's why this show is so special, actually, because all of a sudden, let's take sex aside. Let's talk about dance. Let's talk about connecting to your body. Let's talk about being sacred in your own temple without the sexuality for a moment. And that's a beautiful beginning for a journey.
And you know, talking about Tuesday, there was a moment that was incredibly profound for me, and it was a simple gesture. There was a woman standing, her partner had gone out for some reason from the water, and I placed my hands on her heart, simple, just on the heart. And I suddenly realized that I'd only really known this woman through words. You know, we'd spoken, we'd exchanged. But in that moment when I actually felt her body, I felt a profound sense of knowing her totality.
Yeah, it's like a heart knowing and a soul knowing.
It was absolutely amazing. And it was the most simple gesture, the most beautiful, delicate hand on heart. Nothing, you know, even complicated.
Yeah, because the words are the story of our lives. Mm. And the story of our lives is often not who we are. Circumstances have put us there. Decisions have put us there. Contractive decisions, expansive decisions, things we've done in the past. Mm. And that's all. But there's that immediacy of the heart is incredible. Mm. So, you know, almost everybody who comes to work with me, the first thing I teach everybody is called a heart salutation, which is a heart greeting. And imagine if that's what you did with people when you met them. You greeted their heart.
Just a
not a handshake, not like an air kiss.
Yeah.
Or a on the cheek, or like, you know what the bros do, a big slap on the back. And but like you greeted their heart.
Yeah.
It would be this moment of amazing connection.
Yeah.
Which would open an incredible communication. And I really like that. I was playing with that yesterday, and I wrote an article that will come out on Monday. I've written quite a lot about the intention of touch, and that touch is a communication and it's a language. And I expanded it into the idea that sex and sensuality and making love and kissing is a communication. So where are you communicating from? What are you telling when you make love? What's the story that you're telling? What are you saying? Where in you is that coming from? And the dance and the movement become such an amazing expression of that.
The language, I mean, the as in making love, the kiss, you can't explain it in words. You can't say, well, this kiss means.
Yeah.
And it's the same with dance. The dance is the dance. You can't kind of come along and say, well, this dance means, because you're taking it out of that experience. And it's that immediacy of the body, the soul, the self expression in the moment, where the power lies in something like a dance session or a dance class.
Yeah. So Bayadan's experience is called a vivencia.
Yes.
How do we translate that?
Vivencia, loosely translated, is a word called experience. Mm. But it comes from various sources. And it's about the immediacy of living in the moment in with full capacity, your emotional, your presence, your mental presence, your physical presence. So it's being in the moment fully and experiencing that moment fully.
Mm. Yeah.
So very much presence.
Presence.
Delicious, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, you look at the spectrum of this and you're looking at connection between so many different ways of meditating, and it all becomes just that expression of, as you said, humanity and life on that continuum. That sitting meditation is just one expression of that.
Yes.
That this is, it's a body meditation. It's a meditation of life, of yourself. You know, and Valentina, my friend in Cape Town, Valentina Mrs. Love, in her tantric yoga practice, talks so much about meditate yourself and let the moment meditate you. And we expand that into let the movement meditate you.
Mm.
Let the connection meditate you.
Mm. Well, you know, there's this aspect of dance as well, which is going to sound also quite sexual in a way. Mm. But it's the fact that, you know, initially it might start from the brain. You know, I need to move my feet. I need to do X, Y, Z. There's a moment of connection with the feeling. Okay, so I am feeling something, I'm going to express it. But then there's the moment of total abandonment and giving over to the dance, where the dance takes over. You're not guiding it, you're not doing it, it's doing you. And it's that moment of going over in complete surrender. That's the magic.
Yeah. How did you come to this?
By dance.
Yeah.
I always danced. I used to dance with Moving Into Dance before.
Okay.
Which was very performance based and technical.
So that was more kind of rigid, structured.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And then a friend of mine invited me to one of these open sessions about 15 years ago. And there was a lady from overseas, she's an amazing lady, Patricia Martello. A very sensual woman. I mean, this woman is just so in her body, so in her presence, that the session was amazing. And it was simple. I mean, you know, from Vyadanza, it's very simple, natural movements. Mm. There's nothing complicated about it. But her energy and her presence, I thought, wow, this is home. This is where I can dance and just be me. I just wanted to be me. I didn't want the technicality of learning steps. I didn't want the pressure of performance. I just wanted to express. And that's how I found Vyadanza. Yeah.
Wow. And how long have you been teaching, facilitating for?
This is my 11th year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a 3-year training. So soon after I started, I went into training. It's a 3-year training. Because there's a lot of theory. There's a very, very developed theoretical model for Vyadanza and for movement and what we're doing. And, you know, by the way, there's a lot of research, academic research around this as well. So it's not kind of like, well, let's just get together, put on some music and have a jaw.
Mm.
There's a methodology which we stick to because it works. And it was developed through somebody who was in the medical field, you know, so in the psychiatric field.
Mm. So how did that come about?
Well, it's
from somebody who was in that field to dance. That's quite a shift.
So it's very interesting because the founder or the creator of Vyadanza is Rolando Tora Araneda. He's a Chilean, or was a Chilean. And he was working in a psychiatric hospital. And there was a whole movement in the 60s around humanizing medicine, and he was part of that. So they were looking at ways in which they could humanize medicine. And he started using music, and he realized that when he played certain music, his patients became even more agitated and sick climbing the walls. And when he played other music, it calmed them down and they seemed to center and kind of integrate. Mm. And out of that, and I mean, that there is the beginning of the methodology. It's kind of like the music you use, the movements you use to achieve very certain specific states of what we mentioned earlier, vivencia. They're not all the same. It's not like some kind of happy sort of even existence. It's up, it's down, it's around, it's in. It's the totality of human existence and emotion. So out of that, he developed that over years, practicing and training people.
How did he get from music to the understanding that it has to, not has to, but can be expressed by dance or by...
Because the music he was using was in a party situation. So Via Danza started in a party.
Great.
Fantastic.
Celebrating life.
Absolutely.
No, it was in a party situation.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, because I mean, I also sometimes think back and I think, I mean, he was a teacher, you know, obviously a very enlightened teacher, but he was a teacher. And I think, how did this man go from there to movement? And I think that in a way is a little bit of a miracle sometimes of how things happen in life. You don't expect them, you know. Like I wouldn't have expected to be doing Via Danza other than the fact that I went to this open class, you know. Otherwise, we'd be teaching technical formal classes still. So it's these accidents, and there were other people, because he was at the university in Santiago. There were other people experimenting with emotions and ways of being. So he was part of a group, you know, in the 60s. It was very experimental.
So what are the different kind of musics and different movements? Like, is it connected to elements, more gentle, more fire?
Yeah. So Via Danza uses various influences or catalysts for the dance. One of them is the elements. So we can explore movement through elements and look at what it means to be in a fire dance, what it means to be in an air dance, how does it feel, what happens. We use animals, almost like totem animals. We use a lot of myth and archetype. So, and coming back to today's topic, the one archetype is Eros, you know. Use a lot of myth and archetype. And the whole idea is to almost go into the subconscious, the collective subconscious of humanity and ourselves. So before we... Earlier on, you said our lives are kind of, it's a words. We make our life up with words. Before that, when we were babies, we moved in a very particular way. And we had very particular experiences. So we try to go back to those archetypal movements, those experiences, and relearn what does it mean to be in your body, to relearn what does it mean to be vital, have vitality, what does it mean to be creative. Because we... Basically, our teachers and whoever talk us out of all of that over the years.
Not even a doubt about that.
Yeah.
So various influence. And the music was always appropriate. I mean, you would never put a heavy rhythmic piece of music if you're dancing air. You will use something with a beautiful harmonic element, a flowing element. And that'll instill the element of air.
Movement, spreading.
Whereas if you want to do earth, you might get something that is quite strong and has a beat and brings you back down into your base chakra, basically.
So in this context, then, what does Eros mean?
So I think, you know, thinking about... So Eros is part of the line of sexuality. In Via Danza, we say that there are five ways in which our humanity is manifest or developed. Very quickly, it's vitality, sexuality, creativity, affectivity, and transcendence. So sexuality is one of them. And when we look at Eros, I think in that sense, we are really talking about a very strong, instinctive, universal energy. It's the force of attraction. It's the force of creation. And it's the force of connection. We are, you know, if you look at the myth of Eros, you'll see that Eros is a very archaic god. And it comes out when division and separation occur. Out of heaven and earth, Gaia and Uranus, comes Eros. So out of the division comes Eros. And I think the role of Eros is to bring us back together again. Because once you bring people together and they feel the connection, they feel the cosmic connection, they feel the greater expansion. So it's like a really, really, for me, a very, very, very strong element to work with in the dance. And it doesn't look like sex in the dance, you know, it doesn't. It is, it's playful, it's connection, it's dance, attraction. But it is that element that says, I see another human being and I would love to be connected to that human being through the dance, through whatever, you know.
And that's the higher expression of conscious sexuality and conscious sensuality, is that connection that goes into many different contexts. It's very fluid. It's often not defined. Situations will create possibilities. And from that comes the most amazing beauty of connection with ourselves, with another, with others, with life, with the world.
Mm-hmm. It's just, it moves, it really touches my heart what you're saying, Christos. It's interesting, we always mention Christos about the water flow massage, that he built his pool. He's an architect as well, and he built his pool because of also thanks to these experiences.
Yeah.
And now you're here, and it touches me in the deepest way that we live in a world that forbid almost those words. It's almost like it's forbidden to say those words of you want to be connected to another human being. You want to feel wanted, not necessarily sexually. And it's a right of a human being to be connected to many different human beings and the animals and the nature. We are thinking only in that sense of a man and woman, or if it's, one gender relationship, but it actually has to do with connecting to source. Yeah. We are all one.
And the absolute bastardization of sexuality and the limitation of sexuality closes so much of us down.
Yeah.
And sexuality has become contractive, not expansive.
For sure, you want to get rid of it.
Yeah,
rid
so the contraction comes, firstly, in the labels that we put on our sexuality. Mm. I'm gay, I'm straight, I'm bi, I'm trans, I'm whatever, whatever, whatever. This is what I do, this is what I don't do.
Exactly.
And that shuts us down, is the first part of it, the labels. The second part of it, then, is the context of sexuality. So we only express our sexuality and sensuality in these very limited ways with these little boxes. We take it out, we use it, we put away again, and it remains hidden. And we don't talk about it. And the biggest public expression of sexuality has become pornography.
That's the norm.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah. And I wrote something the other day that I want to explore and write about much more. And it was that the expectation of orgasm becomes the limitation of our sexual expression.
I can't agree more.
And that's what we've done. We've put orgasm as the criterion for a successful sexual experience. And instead of saying there is this amazing world of possibility, we've said there's one expression of that. Instead of this beautiful, constant continuum of exploration. And I've had some experiences that literally in the last 2 days that have really started, even for me, and I love this, opening new worlds.
Beautiful.
Because I keep thinking, you know, how much more is there? And you take a breath and wow, worlds and worlds opening and possibilities that I've seen that I maybe had glimpses of before, or maybe just this vague awareness, yeah, it's got to be there somewhere. But all of a sudden, literally, and even yesterday afternoon, possibilities of something that I only had a vague awareness of, and all of a sudden, in a couple moments of, that literally were breathtaking.
It gives me, and when I look at dance, people say I go to dancing class to burn calories, or I'm going to, you know, I'm going to the gym. You know, all our physical activity as well is conditioned by what are the, you know, it's very good for me. It's good for my psychology, my serotonin. Nobody thinks, what are the possibilities? Mm-hmm. Maybe you can dance for hours. Maybe you can even dance without dancing. Maybe you can be in a consciousness of dance, which can actually make me flow and be in a rhythm. What are the, nobody looks at things, the majority of people, we are conditioned to think that we are not, we are thinking at pointers or what do I get out of it and not what are the possibilities, like you say, Jonty.
And this came to me the other day that if we add consciousness to a lot of these expressions, they start to become an amazing celebration. So if you're conscious of dance, of movement, it becomes an amazing celebration of your body, of your sensuality, of your energy, of your emotions. Because some of the dances bring up an enormous amount of emotion.
Totally. But the thing, you know, tying up what you're saying, what Tamar's saying, is that I love to use dance as a metaphor sometimes, and even though it is the experience. And the one thing is that there is no goal to dance. You don't dance to get to the end of the dance. So what you were saying, you don't maybe make love to get to the
end. Orgasm.
You know, so you don't dance to get to the end of the dance. You dance because you want to be in the dance.
Exactly.
And that in the dance is in the being and in the experience. And that is where the meaning will unfold. That is where the experience and the possibilities will unfold, and they're going to unfold in your body, in your being, not in your mind. Later on, you can think about them and say, oh, yeah, no, maybe that and that and that. But in the moment, it's something felt in your cells, you know?
It gives me a context to something that I came to understand last week, before, whenever it was, and it was a little phrase. And it was, instead of saying, I love you, how about saying, there is love? And it really, it opens something amazing. Yes. Instead of, because I love you becomes this, and there's nothing wrong with saying I love you. There is love becomes so much more expansive.
Well, it's the being and the continuous.
Yeah.
You know. And it doesn't have the limit of I and you.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which is the separation again. Yeah. You know, there's an I that loves you.
Yeah. So we have love. We are an expression of love rather than that limitation of it. And that's it. It's just this expansion. And that's what so much of the dance does, because it's expanding your body and the way that you move and the stiffness. You watch people move and you see the stiffness that we have, the aches, the pains, the joints that we're so tight. And, you know, even in exercise, one of the biggest expressions in our world is this amazing muscled body. That's such a contractive experience of your body, because it's all about that. It's contractive. It's not expansive, opening, freeing, moving.
Well, the people who are in the gym building up those bodies are reinforcing the story of their life, the words. They're going like, I am a muscle.
Yeah.
I am this
stiffness,
or that. And they reinforce it through the exercise, you know. And what we want to do in dance is we want to change the story. We don't want to change the body. We want to change the story through the movement to unleash that energy, open up those joints, let the movements in.
Be in the flow.
Yeah, be in the flow. And the stories begin to change. So you come out of there and suddenly I'm not this. I'm not that, you know?
Yeah. Caroline Mace has a beautiful saying, your biology is your biography.
Yes.
And we think that the stories are set, and they are not. The power we have to change that story is incredible. if we're willing. And I've seen that, you know. I have a friend called Jenny Hirsch who does chirology, hand reading. And when she first started, she did a reading for me, and they take a print of your hands, like an ink print mm-hmm. of your hands. And about 10 years after she had done this, she did another print of my hands. The lines, some of the lines on my hand had totally changed.
Wow.
Some had totally disappeared. There were new things there. And I was blown away by this because it just shows how we can change if we choose.
Totally. But there needs to be that letting go and that willingness. And, you know, we come back to the continuum of eros right through to connection, say, with nature, this thing of connection. So many people come to me before they dance and they go like, do I have to dance with somebody else? Do I have to look at somebody in the eye, you know? And, you know, I just nod and smile. But but that fear, but that when we close down the connection with the other, which we do in our society, we close down the connection with nature on the one side, and we close down connection with eros and love on the other side. You know, it's we can't shut down part of us. We shut everything down. And when we shut down, that's when we see the beaches littered with plastics. That's when we see fires that have been started deliberately. That's when we see violence and the disconnect. So it is that connection. So there needs to be that willingness to do it and to overcome the huge fear people have. And they express that fear in very different ways. They go like, oh, you know, dance is not for me, or biodanza is too, you know, too touchy-feely, or I don't do that kind of stuff, or I don't look inside of me. These are just fear statements.
Because I had that the first time that I went, because dance is this foreign world for me, because I can't hold rhythm, I can't learn steps, and that's what it was for me. It's like that was a scary space for me.
Exactly,
that expectation of this is what I have to do. And this amazing freedom of realizing I can just play there.
Well, it's that moment when people go over that line and realize that actually all of that's bullshit and I can do this and it's fun and there's pleasure here. That's the magic moment.
It reminds me, it just again throws me to the same place of lovemaking. Of, you know, I can't do this. You know, I'm not a good lover. And the best lover is the one who listens. The best lover is the one who just is curious and is humble and says, let's see what happens. And that's the best lover and that's the best dancer. And we have put a very, very interesting...
That's profound. I said the other day, because every now and
every
then...
Every 6 months or every 2 years,
every
I
now and then, Tamar says something that's amazing. And a lot of times, you don't always realize the power of it. That's really
beautiful.
Just
don't forget it.
I'm not. I'm going to write something about it. It's really beautiful.
It is.
It's an amazing expression.
But it's that, when you're in that state, Tamar, it's that moment of letting go your story a little bit. Because you say, I don't know my story. I'm going to... going to the unknown.
Exactly.
And I'm willing to try it. And that's courage.
That's courage.
You know, that is courage. People who come to dance and are in that state, for me, they you can see it in their bodies, they're terrified, their eyes, but they stay. And I admire those people so much more than the, let's call it, the ballet dancers that swan in and do whatever. I really do, you know.
Wow.
Yeah. You know, I said something on Tuesday night in the water because it struck me. It was one of those real breathtaking moments of surrendering to love is probably the most terrifying thing in the world because your entire story will drop and shatter and change literally in a moment. And the possibilities of movement, of touch, take you to the same place. And we hold on to what we know and what we've got for dear life. You know, an interesting idea that I've had for a long time. Our biological nature, the nature of sheer biology of our body is to hold on. Like we cling to life enormously. And I've had the amazing experience of watching some people die, of watching them in this earth journey. And that's where you see how much we cling on to and how much we hold on to things. What do you think about that?
Yeah, no.
And that's what makes letting go so difficult sometimes.
Yeah. You know, we do. And sometimes we are a little bit hard on ourselves because we, because I think the other side of this is that we love to take out the whip and lash ourselves over everything. And yes, we do hold on, but we also have to understand that a lot of our biology and the way we are comes out of a basic survival instinct.
Yes.
When you, you know, traipsing the forest, you don't have time to reflect on the nature of lion. You know, you run or you fight or whatever.
Yeah.
And we've retained that. And so in a way, in with kindness and love, I think love, that word in the loving, is lovely. In the loving, we can change that because we can start to realize that it's not serving us anymore. Mm. That if we can let go a little bit, it can be different and we're not going to die. You know, I think when people let go of their story, which is basically their identity, in other words, they think they're going to die.
Yeah.
You know, that's the end of me.
Mm. Yeah. And we were having a discussion yesterday, the beautiful phrase that the French use for orgasm, which is the little death.
Yes.
And it's this constant dying and being reborn and rejuvenated and resurrected. Mm-hmm. And the deeper that, this is interesting. The deeper that you can go into that death, the more energy, the more power you can put into that death, the greater the rebirth. It's like this amazing energy that comes together in one point and then expands outwards again.
I was in nature two nights ago in the lodge, and I was looking at the stars. And it's one of the things, I grew up in Israel, and we didn't get much stars. There's a lot of pollution and clouds and whatever. So when you look at the stars in the bush, it's really falling stars every 3 seconds. And we started discussing, just absorbing, but we just exchanged some words. And and the words were, there is no time. There is just cycles. Mm. And we are born, and when we die, we go to sleep, we wake up, we orgasm, and we get, you know, tired and rejuvenated again. And we dance, we get tired, again, we fight, but then we can relax. And when we were a little bit more of the gatherers and hunters, we had time. We created time because it was just impossible not to work and then to play and to rejuvenate. And those cycles that John T. always says, it's not about the harmony, it's about the rhythm. Oh, I heard you once, of course, I'm trying not to quote too much because things change, but it's beautiful and something that sticks with me. Just see what's the rhythm of your life. Don't want like a one line goes, that's death, you know? Same with dance. There's very fiery dance. You said it yourself, Christos. You're expressing everything of your being in the dance. There's fire elements like in conscious sexuality and tantra. There's very soft elements and energy and frequency. And we must touch it all to be in a full and whole. And that's something that through dance, I suspect people can, in a very safe way, can connect to Eros, to themselves and the whole fullness of their being.
Yeah. So what I said about that was, and I talk about it lots. I was talking about it to a client yesterday. Rhythm is more important than balance. Because often balance can be very static and very rigid.
Yes.
You know, like if you're on a seesaw, a teeter board, any little movement can upset that. And we're taught very much this idea, your life needs to be in balance.
No,
crap that. Fuck. There is no balance. If you think there is, you are living in a fucking illusion.
Yeah.
Because that's the truth of it. And every little thing is going to upset that. And you're holding all these balls in the air, and one of them drops, and the whole thing collapses. But when there's this rhythm and flow, you understand that you can move.
Exactly.
There's time there's more, there's times there's less. There's times you're hungry, there's times you're not. There's times you have more love, less love. There's times you're more aroused, there's times you're less aroused. There's times you want to talk, there's times of silence. Rhythm and flow means that we can be with that.
Yes.
And when we need to move out of one, we can. There's not that rigid holding on to everything.
There's a lovely dance in Biodanza. We call them fluidity dances. where everybody starts very gently, very smoothly to dance around each other. And we often say in introducing this dance is that, you know, you will come up against somebody. What happens? Do you bump them over? Do you stop? No. You gently both find a way to move past each other. And that's that what you're talking about, that fluidity of life, that flow. There are obstacles. There are problems. There are all sorts of things. What do you do when you come up against them? You know, and this is where I like dance, if I can bring it back to it, is that you can feel that in your body. You know, in that dance of fluidities, you can feel, what do I do when I come up against an obstacle? In this case, it's another person in the room. I move around. Do I? So often in life, we see people who stand rigid. I will not get out the way. Just go on the road. You'll see what we mean.
Go to Israel. You'll see what we mean.
I will not get out of the way.
gets worse and worse.
So that's a beautiful thing of the flow and the fluidity.
And the beautiful parallel of that to the consciousness of dance and the consciousness of sexuality and sexual energy, the movement of it says that those gifts that you experience in that space can be taken into life.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's the creative power. It's not just in this little vacuum. So I'm not going once a week and I'm going to dance and it's fine. The bigger picture is the impact that that has on me and on my life.
Well, the experience is embodied. You don't even have to think about it. You experience it. It's in your cells, I keep saying. It starts to change your cells. You know, if you talk about epigenetics and experience, you know, it starts to change your DNA.
That's a very big word. You're going to have to explain it.
It's epigenetics.
It's happy genetics. Happy genetics with epigenetics.
Happy genetics day. Explain to us what's epi.
Epigenetics is the, you know, it's the ability that we have to change our DNA through experience and pass that on down to our offspring.
It's not this rigid thing that has to be a certain way.
Exactly what you said earlier on, you know, it does about your lines and your body. It's not fixed. Even our DNA is not fixed.
No,
we can change it.
We are changing
and
it. There's ways, physical ways, and there's work with your own thoughts.
Because there's so much amazing research coming out that says we see the world as we are. What we see is not the world. It's not our life. It's what we think it is.
Exactly, yeah.
And as soon as we start to expand that, the world starts to expand. The people in our life start to expand and change. One of the interesting things about this for a lot of people is, and I think it's one of the fears of change, is that your life does change. When you embark on these journeys, your life changes, which means certain things end.
Yes.
And for a lot of us, that's hard.
That's another fear of death or fear of our own death. And our cells die all the time. Our cells are rejuvenating and they die. And we are so scared. That's one of our, that's the brain. That's the mind. We are scared of that ending. But there's always new beginnings. Maybe it won't. It will just transform. But it is. It has to end to begin. And what's ending, actually? Is it just a figure eight? Can we maybe percept it like that, things go away from us but come back in a different way? There is so much that we have really been conditioned to think there's a beginning and an end. And what is my impact?
And it's all just this continuous flow and movement.
Take away from our self-importance. It's so critical. We are the center of the world. We are the children of God. We are... And we are just particulars.
We're the chosen people.
Look at nature. We are cells and we need to move, you know? Yeah. That's nature. We are little pieces in the universe and we need to move. We need to dance. We need to make love.
And we're part of this amazing dance. You know, one of the meanings of the word tantra is weaving the web. And I really like that because there are so many strands to add to this amazing web and story of our lives that we can do in so many ways. Through love, through touch, through words, through movement, through looks, through everything.
Yeah. No, it is all interrelated. You can't separate. I think that's one of the tragedies of our societies, that we separate everything out. You know, you're a specialist in A and I'm a specialist in B. Well, who's a specialist in being human?
Who's a specialist of being kind?
Yeah.
Who's the specialist of making love.
So, I've got an answer for you. You want to learn to be a specialist in being human, learn about your heart.
Yes.
Open your heart. Go into your heart. Explore your heart. That's where you'll learn to be a specialist in being human. And that's the truth. Never mind all the teachers, never mind all the guides, never mind all the mentors. Open your heart. Get into your heart. Get into your body. Feel.
In the Native American tradition, they say, if you want to know what is love, look at Mother Earth. Look at giving without any writing what's right, what's wrong, or you gave me, or you polluted me. There's just a cycle of taking what there is, decomposing, giving in life, and the heart as well. It beats for you for your whole life. It never asks you, have you been a good boy today? Santa Claus came today. There's no conditioning. The heart beats, the heart cleans, the heart sends oxygen. And that's something that if you go and listen to that amazing organ, anything in our body is unique and amazing. And if you listen to that specific organ that gives you so much of also benefits, spiritual benefits, emotional benefit, then maybe you can learn more.
But I also sometimes think that we don't have to do anything. No. You know, we always think that, oh, I have to connect with my heart. Now, what do I do? A, B, or C? It's remembering.
Yeah.
Because all we need to do is remember that we're connected to the earth.
Yeah.
We are. We need to remember that we're connected to our heart. And the manifestation of forgetting that is that we get sick. You know, but when we remember, it just opens. It's what you said earlier on when you said something about the expansiveness, suddenly just opening up. It's that moment when you remember. And in Via Danza, we have a dance where, you know, well, we've got lots of dances, but that connect with heart and that. But we have one which is specifically about just taking a moment to almost remember, connect with the heart, put your hands over your heart center, breathe, and just allow some movement to come out of that. And, you know, so often in that dance, people cry. You know, because for the first time, they remember that they have a heart.
Yeah.
You know?
They remember they have a heart. Yeah. That's so beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's true. We live numb. We're numb.
Yeah.
We're so numb. And why not awakening?
We separate.
Why not awakening? Why not celebrate the fact you have a heart?
Yeah. And that's the simple journey of every spiritual, every growth, every healing path is to simply remember.
Yeah.
And
it is.
To reconnect with that. And that's the word. It's about connection because everything else is about separation. And that's the bottom line of it, which is amazing. You know what I love about this? Being here, it is such a gratifying and fulfilling space, especially when we have friends here. Because we talk to a lot of people from a lot of different backgrounds, and some conversations are...
We need to leave them behind.
Yes. And the most beautiful thing is the learning and the sharing. So much has been reminded to me and learned from listening to some of what you've said this morning.
Yeah.
It's one of the most incredible experiences, and it's one of the most important parts of my week for what we're able to share here.
Well, it's part of the connection, even through language and allowing that to open. How often we don't speak our mind. And sometimes somebody will say something and it reminds us of things. I mean, when you asked me to come and I thought, oh God, what am I going to talk about? I haven't got a clue. I better go and research.
We don't want you to go.
and there's so much, you know, you can talk for hours on.
Yeah, and we just scratched the surface of some things.
Yeah.
Which is really amazing. So let's go back to Dracophilia.
Just a beautiful picture of my own of the biodanza. I just posted on Instagram. Connect. Just one of the biodanza centers. There's beautiful other photos you'll see. It's all about connection. Okay, so it's Dracula. Dracophilia.
No,
thank you, John T.
Dracula. I told you that before. If you don't listen, you know you're going to get spanked.
Oh, thank you so much. Okay, it's Dracula. Yes. It's actually about Dracula.
Can I have another guess? It's something to do with fangs and teeth.
Well, you're kind of getting a little bit. the fetish for dragons.
Oh, so it's no, Game of Thrones. The Khaleesi. Dragons. Khaleesi with her dragons. Totally dragons. Porn for somebody it's like that.
Dragons.
Dragons. You people like, is it like manga that you like thinking that the dragon is going to...
Fuck, I don't know.
Is it like a... Because I spoke yesterday with...
I never thought much more about it. Like, what do you want to do? Do you want to have sex with a dragon? Do you want to go rescue somebody from the dragon? Do you want... I don't know what.
But maybe they turn them on. Do you know that in Japanese porn they don't show genitals? That's why so much... Yeah. So much has developed all, from the animation.
Yeah, it's all blurred out there.
And that's why they're so huge on monsters. Mm.
So interesting thing, if you know, that, like, there's the vibrator that's called a dolphin, there's the duck, there's all of those.
Yeah.
Is there one called a dragon? And it's not just like a huge fist-like thing or something.
Dragon, maybe it's like the how do you call it? The scale. The, yeah, the scales. Yeah,
I don't know what. Anyway, golden. It's a fetish for dragons.
Okay. I don't know anybody like that, but I'll definitely research. Write us on WhatsApp if you have a fetish for dragons. They're pretty awesome.
Go. Okay. Where can people find out more about the classes, about the experiences? Where do they find you?
I have a Facebook page called Visvita Center, V-I-S-V-I-T-A Center. And Visvita is power of life.
Yes. Okay, we'll definitely post it.
Interestingly enough, on the 24th of January, I'm doing a free talk at your center. Start the year with a bang. Love, life, pleasure, and possibilities.
Movement.
What's the year for you? Free talk. You do need a book for it. Tuesday the 24th at 7 p.m.
I'll tweet
and our
now.
First full-on water massage experience for the year is Tuesday the 31st of January.
So Tuesday is a good day.
It's a fantastic day. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
It's been beautiful to share with you.
Thank you so much.
A lot of fun.
We wish you all so much pleasure.
Bye. CliffCentral.com.